Red letters. Come on, church. How y'all doing today? Come on. Yeah. So excited that you're here today. I believe God has something personally for you. I believe God knows where you live. I know that God knows where you're sitting right now. How many of y'all know that? Come on, he has your address. Red letters. What's the big deal with these red letters? Come on. Red means passion. It's in the Bible, when you're reading red letters, are the words of Jesus typically in the Bible, red letters. And they're like warning, like pay attention. Parkway East is closing. Yeah, right? Yeah, like pay attention here. Get this right. Come on. And so that's what the red letters are. And I mean, after all, after you read the letter, that makes it a red letter. Been waiting all week for that one. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Come on, red letters. We're looking at the book of Revelation. We're looking at a specific letter that Jesus wrote to seven churches, seven specific churches. What was he speaking? What can we learn from it today? I don't know if you know this or not, but we all have a world view. We all have a way that we perceive the world here, the way that we perceive life. It's made up of our religious values, our political values, our social values, sacred values, all of the above. But today, as we look at the red letters to the Church of Pergamum, we're learning about, like, where do we get our world view from? Where do we get our worldview? How do we view the world in which we live? Now, in each one of these letters that we're looking at, they follow the same pattern here. The pattern is this. The pattern is that first there is a commendation, an encouragement, spoken from a true father's heart. Hey, an attaboy, way to go. And then there's this, like, warning. Matter of fact, where's all my dads out there? Where's all the men? Where's the dads? Come on, dads. Come on, I'm going to give you a pattern here to communicate. First, you got to be full of encouragement. And then, you got to give a warning. There's a complaint, criticism here. And then there's a command. There's something, hey, this is what you need to do. And then there's a covenant promise. If you do these words, you're going to be blessed. If you disobey, you're going to be not so blessed. Come on, somebody. Y'all with me there? Come on. And so this is the pattern that we see in the theme of the letters. So we're looking at the church in Pergamum today, and it is in what we consider northern Turkey now. It was a church in a place geographical. It was known for its literature, its art, its music, for its education, for its philosophy here. So education and all those things were in Pergamum, and that's who he's writing to here. Now, in preparing this, I can't help but wonder, I just wonder, like, if Jesus, if he were to write a letter to us right here, Bridge City Church, White Oak, what would the letter really say? I've been thinking a lot about this, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to write that letter. And then I thought, well, these letters are from Jesus, and so I got to be pretty careful with that. So I'm not ready to write that letter. But I just have to wonder, what would he say? What would the encouragement, the rebuke, what would the challenge, what would the command be? What would the blessing be? Maybe we'll get to that in future weeks, but right now we're going to go back to Revelation chapter 2 in the church of Pergamum. Here we go. Are you ready? Come on. Are you really ready? You ready for the word of God this morning? Come on. How many of y'all believe it's going to change your life? Come on. Come on. There we go. Here we go. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the words of him who has a sharp, two-edged sword. First of all, I want to stop and say that these are the words of Jesus. These are not the words of John. John is penning the words of Jesus here. In many of the other epistles that you see in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter. And there's biblical principle, there's biblical values, there's biblical doctrine, there's all of those things. But this is a word from Jesus. First of all, church, do we revere the words of Jesus? Do we live in a day and age where the words of Jesus are still the words of Jesus? And I hear people say, well, it's just an opinion. Jesus has an opinion. I want you to know, as a follower of Jesus, he doesn't just have an opinion. He has the way of life that I'm choosing. Are you with me now? See, do we revere that? That's what I'm trying to say here. And see, we all like Jesus, like with the little lambies. Y'all see those pictures with Jesus and the lambies? He has his little lambie on his back, and he's like warm and cuddly. You know what I'm talking about, right? And Jesus doesn't judge anybody. Jesus is a God of love, love and no judgment. What's interesting here, he says that he has a sharp, two-edged sword. Let me try to say what that is right here. Oh, I'm sorry. Kinda. Now, this is what kind of sword. It wasn't a, like this is, it's a two. Now, this is not, this isn't sharp for a reason, okay? I'm just telling you because I'm holding it. That's why it's not sharp, okay? But this is really what he's speaking of. And this is what Jesus brings. In the midst of Jesus being a God of love and a God of, you know, he accepts everybody. Listen, he brings divine judgment. He brings a sword. He brings the word of God. This is what the sword is right here. And so he brings this. This is my God. Is he still your God? No, seriously, like we got to look at that. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says that the word of God, the word in his mouth is as two, sharper than and active and living than any two-edged sword. Are you with me? Come on, it separates soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intentions of your heart. That's what the word of God does. And this is what Jesus says he's bringing. He's bringing this. And so that we need to be ready for this here. See, this is what the word of God is. This is what, it's a sword. This is by the way we live. This is by the way we move on. Hallelujah. But see, what I'm trying to say to you is this. These are the words of Jesus, and that's what he brings. And be careful. Leave it there. I was going to put it up here, but it was going to fly off into the first row. And I thought, that's never a good thing. Come on. That's never a good thing. You know, Jesus is going to have the last word. He's going to have the last tweet, the last post, and he's going to post the last reel. Come on, somebody. Are you with me now? That's him. That's my God here. Okay, because many people have an opinion, but he's going to have the last of it. Let's go on in verse 13 here. I know where you dwell. How many of y'all know, like Jesus is saying, I know where you live. I know what's going on. We had prayer this morning because he knows, he sees, he cares. He knows where you are. He knows where you live. He sees you. He knows you. Listen, I want to emphasize this. He knows where we live. He knows where we are right here. And he says, oh, and I know where it is. It's right where Satan dwells. It's right where there's Satan's throne, right where you live. Now, this literally, if you look at this, this doesn't mean that Satan lives down the street. He's not a neighbor. He's the mayor. He's in charge. It's his influence. He's the one ruling and reigning. How many of y'all feel sometimes like you live where Satan lives? And I'm not talking about your spouse. Do not raise your hand if that's your spouse. Do not say that right now. Mm-mm. No, do not do that. Mm-mm. Trying to help you have a good day right now. No, I'm talking about we live in a crazy world, am I right? And it feels like evil's winning. It feels that way. And it feels like there's all this craziness going on here. That's what he's saying here. And he's saying, but I know where you live. And if you hold fast my name, you did not deny my faith as in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness who was killed among you where Satan dwells. So here's the commendation. Here's the attaboy. Here's the encouragement. You are a faithful witness. See, more than being a good guy or a nice lady or somebody who helps people, more than being all those things which are really, really super great, what God is looking for is faithful witnesses. And with Antipas, he gives the highest compliment. He uses faithful witness, which is the same word that he uses of himself in Revelation 3:14. Faithful witness. Well, who was Antipas? Not a lot written about him in the Bible, but according to church history, if you read there and study it, he was literally put in what we would consider a brass cauldron that was shaped like a bull, and they heated it up, and he gave his life being burned to death for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, you're a faithful witness on the outside. you're standing up to things on the outside. Faithful witness. So like when we say, hey, we're going to go out and we're going to witness together. Witness is the same root word of martyr. And so are we willing to say, listen, Jesus Christ is first and foremost, and we're going to live for him. Faithful witness is one of the highest compliments from God you could ever get. Are you with me? That's who Antipas was here. And Satan's throne is there. He's ruling and he's reigning. But we exist as a church not to pull our blinds. We're not here today to take a vacation from the world and escape the world. We're here today because you are going to go into your world. Some of you feel like you have a boss. We use this terminology, a boss from hell. I have a job from hell. I have this from hell. I have this going on. Did you ever think that that's where God placed you for a reason? Oh, I work in public school. It's so horrible. That's where God wants you to be. Come on. Oh, you don't understand. Everybody I work with, they use foul language and bad jokes all day. That's where God wants you. Right where Satan dwells. Right in the midst of his throne. That's where God puts you because we exist here. Why? Because of White Oak and Monroeville and East McKeesport and McKeesport and North Versailles and Elizabeth Forward and North Huntington. Why? Because we are going to leave here today and go into our world right where God wants us to be as faithful witnesses. Come on, somebody. See, that's why we're here today, to be reminded of these things, to remind ourselves of these. We're not here to lock the doors and try to escape from the world. We are here today to make sure that the world doesn't creep into here because we're going after the world with a sword. With a sword. Offensive. That's what that terminology really, really is there. Let's go on here. Let's go to the next one here, verse 14. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel. Now, first of all, in that first line there, 14, it says, you have some. That doesn't mean you made a bad decision in high school. It doesn't mean you made a bad decision 2 months ago. That means you have amongst you right now in the church people who are living this way and have no intentions on giving it up. That's the problem. When we just say, this is just as good as I'm going to be, this is as good as it's going to get, and I'm not giving it up. He said, that's the problem. Indifference is the problem. Not that you made a bad decision. How many of y'all have ever made a bad decision in your life? This morning. Yeah, come on. Like, yeah, we all do. See, he's not saying, you disqualified. No, it's when we just get there and we say, you know what, I'm just going to keep living this way. No way, man. There's a teaching of Balaam who taught Balak to put a stumbling block, a scheme, a trap in front of you. There is a scheme and a trap on all of our lives that have been sent from the devil to destroy us. Tonight at 6 p.m., I'm inviting you to a two-hour training that will help you understand schemes and strongholds. This word stumbling block. Understand the blocks that are in front of you, the traps and the schemes that are keeping you from living the way God created you to live in victory. Come on. And we can identify them. So come to North Braddock, our North Braddock location, tonight at 6 o'clock. 2 hours where we can learn together. I'm going to be there because I'm going to learn. I'm going to glean. I'm going to grow with this. Because there are stumbling blocks. Well, let's go back to the Church of Pergamum and let's look at the stumbling blocks that they had here. Okay, they had no intentions on giving them up. The criticism of the Church of Pergamum was this: your compliance with the world and you're compromising God's word. You're complying with the world and you're compromising God's word. It happens slowly. The drift just comes in. We don't mean to do it, but it just happens. Nobody wakes up one day and says, you know what? I think today is the good day to commit adultery. But you get there step by step. You've given into it several times. Nobody wakes up one day and says, I'm gonna create or cause some heinous crime, some horrible violation towards men. But we get there slowly because there's a drift. There's just a little drift. There's just a little gap. There's just a little something that we let in and we don't even realize we're letting it into our lives here. It just creeps in. Natalie and I were living in what we refer to as our fake house. because we haven't lived in our real house for about 6 months now. We had a situation there, so we've been in different housing. We've been in this fake house, and a couple weeks ago, we noticed that we had mice problems in the house. And we noticed this, and now I could have just said to Natalie, hey, Natalie, it's just one little mouse. It ain't going to hurt nothing. How many of you would be okay with that? How many just say, it's just one? How many ladies out there say, no, that's good. One's not going to hurt nothing. I see all this. How many of y'all say, no? Because how many of y'all, one's going to bring a friend, right? And then the friend's going to hook up, and they're going to make more little ones. Come on, somebody. Am I right or wrong? Am I right? That's what the little mice do. Come on. And so what I'm trying to say is I could have said to Natalie, it's just one little mouse. You don't worry about that. It's just it's not going to hurt nothing. No, we had to get rid of that mouse. And before you know it only took 1 week. We killed three of them little mouses. Come on, somebody. You know what? And I want to let you know, we haven't seen any more mice, and my wife still lives with me in that fake house. Come on, somebody. All I do is win. Come on. That's right. Come on. Come on. See, what I'm trying to say is we don't tolerate those other things in our life. Why do we do it with God? We allow little things in our lives, and we don't realize what we're allowing in. And one thing goes to another, goes to another, goes to another, goes to another. And listen, we got to keep the line here. Are you with me? Because that's what the Church of Pergamum was doing. They began to move the line. Now, why did Jesus start speaking to them about these Balaks and Balaams and Nicolaitans and all these other people? Why on earth was he doing that? Why did he start speaking this way? So he had this criticism here, so let's uncover it, because in their world, they would have understood it. Just like if Jesus were to speak today to us, he would probably use illustrations about old quarterbacks for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's how Jesus would speak to us. He would speak to us in terms we could understand. He would speak to us about the need of a bullpen. Some of you will get that. Come on. Some of you will get that. See, what I'm trying to say is Jesus spoke to them in terms they could understand here. So let's take a look at this Balak, who we see in Numbers 24, 25. And Balaam was a false prophet. Now I'm going to try to convey this as simple as I can here. Balaam was a false prophet. Now, just let me tell you this. Being a false prophet is not good. He advised Balak, the king of the Moabites. Now, these are not God's people. How to defeat God's people. So the false prophet was saying, hey, I know how to get to God's people. Okay, if Israel, God's people, began to worship idols, they would lose God's. We lose God's protection and his provision when we begin to worship. Now, everybody here today, everybody's like, wait. Okay, look. Balaam got the Moabite women to engage in sexual immorality with them. Do y'all know that the devil's still using the same tricks? There's no, from number, are you seeing this here? It's the same things here. And so God's people lost their power. So they lost their protection and they lost their power. So there's two things here. Number one, they were sacrificing to idols. And then number two is sexual immorality. Now many people in the room right now say, I've never eaten food sacrificed to an idol. I don't worship idols. I don't go to places and bow down and worship statues. I don't do those things. Let me reframe that for you. Idols are anything that comes before God. Anything in your life that comes before God is an idol. Anything. Your past hurts can become an idol. Your past can become an idol. Church can become an idol. People can become an idol. Those little blessings that started out to be blessings in your house, before you know it, you're worshiping them and you don't even know it. Just a thought. Are you with me? See, but then there's this sexual immorality. And I'm going to say that every person in the room here has been faced with this thing called sexual immorality at one time or another. It's everywhere. Do you live in the same world I live in? It is everywhere. It's crazy. I mean, you can watch a television show innocently, and before you know it, there's all this sex stuff going on. It's like crazy. Your mind starts going crazy ways. Am I speaking to the right crowd here today? Come on. Do you live where Satan lives? Come on. Okay, I'm being honest with you. And the temptation is to just give a little thought, a little way, a little thought in here, a little thought, a little thought, a little more thought, and pretty soon you're just going your way, just doing your own thing. That's what the problem was. See, God knew how to defeat our protection and our power by these two things, worship. And so what I intend to do, remember Hebrews 4, what I intend to do gets separated from who I really am. My thoughts and heart get separated here. That's what the Word of God does. Are you living for Jesus Christ the way He wants you to live and not complying to the world? In your life, in your mind, in your home, in our church? Because we need to be careful because the world wants to creep in here and wants to infiltrate who we are. Come on. It wants to start dictating to us what we're going to think and how we're going to think here. Because listen, has anybody come up to you? I should say this. How many followers of Jesus in the room today? How many followers of Jesus? Okay. When's the last time somebody came up to you and said, hey, that whole Christianity thing, you need to dial it down a little bit? You're taking that Jesus way too serious. You know, before you know it, you know, you're gonna. It's not just going to be on Sundays. It's going to be every day. That church is going to overtake your life. Has anybody told you that lately? Maybe if they haven't, maybe we've given way a little bit. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to think different. We know it, but are we? And here's the other one. People say, you know what? You need to dial it down. You need to stop at that church. They're just getting way too pushy. You do you. How many of y'all know when you do you, it's ugly? Come on, somebody. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Come on. Come on. You doing you is ugly. But that's the world system. That's complying with the world. That's you don't need to do this. So let's look at the Nicolaitans also stated here by Jesus. Who were they? Not a lot written about them, but they are mentioned in the Bible 3 times here. Nicolai, meaning let us eat, as they often encourage others. Listen, what you don't need to do what those other people do. You're different. I'm going to give you a better excuse. And note the problem with excuses. We start believing them as truth the longer we make them. The longer we start making excuses is the more things we do. We start believing them in our head. Am I right or wrong? See, when you hear yourself making excuses, it starts to become the normal. Now, this is not the definition of grace, but this is what the Nicolaitans were saying. You don't have to live a certain way. Do you really think God would judge you for that? Don't judge. God doesn't judge. I just told you, He has a two-edged sword. He's judging. There's a divine judgment. I'm living for Jesus. Are you with me? See, this is it. This was the problem. And if we're not careful, the world's going to creep into our thinking. The world is going to creep into our church, into our lives, into our homes, and we won't even know it because we all do it. Come on, we say, hey, did you see this movie? Fill in the blank. And you'd say, it's really good except for this one part. I've done it. If you can get past all the cussing and all the immorality and all the killing, it's a really good movie. Come on. Am I right? I'm like, wow. I mean, what if it only had 2 of the 3? I mean, I don't know. You know, we give in. Am I right? See, the mentality of the world creeps into us. And that's what was happening at Pergamum here. That's what they were doing here. They were faithful witnesses on the outside, but on the inside, they were complying. They were compromising God's word. And I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that doesn't compromise God's word. Amen. Yeah, I don't want to let you know, I don't like all of God's word. I don't. That whole love your enemies thing, I'm still working that part out. How about you? Am I right? There's parts of the word that really... it cuts me to the heart. That whole, like, die to yourself for your spouse thing, I've been praying for Natalie to get that part, but I don't want that part. I don't want that part. I don't want that for me. I'm surprised my mic was still working. Come on. Natalie's in the back. Come on, am I right or wrong? But we have to value the Word of God, and being equal with the world is not our goal. Okay, let's move on. Revelation 2:16. Please, Lord. Therefore, try harder. Do your best. It's okay. What did Jesus say? Repent. He said, repent. If not, this is Jesus. Don't make me come down there. That's what Jesus is saying right here. He's like, don't make me come down there because I'm coming down there if you don't repent. You don't think different, I'm coming. That's what he said, I'm coming for you. Okay, he already said he knows where you live. But it means to think differently. It's a change of mind. It results in a change of action. It's to think differently. And what Jesus, I believe personally, what he's saying to the church of Pergamum is you need to think differently about sin. You need to think differently about fitting into the world. You got to think differently about the Word of God, because the Word of God is still the Word of God. I'm going to tell you. The Word of God is still the Word of God. There we go. Come on. Yeah, thank you. Okay, I want to make sure you're still with me. Okay? Come on. That's what he's saying here. To think differently. And when he said, I'm going to come with a sword, he referenced Balaam earlier. Balaam. And Balaam died by the sword. So what they would have understood, if you don't repent, you're going to die by the sword. It's going to divide. It's the divine judgment of God is going to be upon you. Are you tracking that? Now, how many of y'all know there's areas of your life you need to think differently in? So this is your invitation. In August, coming up, August 22nd, men right here in this room, and all day Saturday, 8 a.m. to about 8:30 p.m., you got to be there for the whole thing. Ladies, you're going to go across town to Brighton Heights, our Brighton Heights location. Be there all day, 8 a.m. to about 8:30, 9 o'clock p.m. Got to be there for the whole thing. And it's about victory over your past and freedom to live in your future. How many of y'all could use a little more victory over your past and freedom in your future? Come on. I need it. Matter of fact, we've been doing this now for 14 years. I still go every 18 months. I go every 18 months because I need it. Not to teach it, but I need it. Are you with me? If you've never been to one, I want you to get registered. I want you to get signed up. I want you to pay your $25 because that says you're coming. Okay, so you got to get there. Matter of fact, you can register right now. Don't be texting your friends. You can register if you want. Okay, but you can do that because I want you to get victory and freedom in your life. We need to think differently. So Jesus gave him commendation, he gave him a criticism, he gave him a command, but let's look at the covenant promise found in 17, Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. You know what I realize more and more? Many people have questions, but few are listening for the answers. Many of us have questions, but we're listening for information, not for transformation. God wants to transform our lives, not just inform our lives. I didn't come here to inform you. As a matter of fact, you can get better information somewhere else. But I came here today because I want to see your life transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I came for. That's what I need. I need transformation. I need a transformation of my heart. I need to be reminded. I need to think differently. How many of you think differently after you're a church? Come on, we all need it. And I need different because I need men in my life. And ladies, you need women in your life to help you think different. But we need to hear what God's saying here. To the one who conquers. To the one who conquers, God has called us to be victorious, to be conquerors. That's what he's created us to be. We don't have to live in defeat anymore. Are you with me? You don't have to. We can live in victory. I didn't say it's going to be easy. I didn't say it's going to be just like that. But you can do it, and I can do it, and we can do it together. Come on. That's what I believe with all my heart here. And some, the hidden manna, and I'm going to give a white stone and a new name, and written on that stone with no one knows except the one who receives it here. So here's the covenant promise. The covenant promise is hidden manna. The first part of the covenant is hidden manna. This is a symbolic picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He sustains us and he strengthens us. How many of y'all need a little bit of sustaining and strength? Come on. Jesus is that. So as we overcome and don't compromise, don't comply with the world and compromise God's word, he gives us himself. I think that's pretty cool. Jesus, he does these things for us and he gives us himself, the bread of life we have. Wow. Hidden manna. It's hidden for those who learn how to conquer, who learn how to be victorious and don't comply to the world and don't compromise his word. This is what we get, Jesus himself. Wow. So then what else do we get? We get a white stone. The white stone, people in Pergamum would have known this. The white stone, in a jury trial, you would be given a black stone and a white stone. And the way you voted, whether they were guilty or not, you would take the white stone and put it in acquitted, not guilty, released. You would take the dark one if you believed that. You wouldn't use both. That one would be condemned, guilty. What God is saying, I'm taking you to a place from being guilty. I'm going to give you a white stone. You're acquitted. You're not guilty. You're in. You got the glory of God. Are you with me now? How many of y'all need that white stone today? Come on, I do. Come on, I need to grab a hold of that today. But it's also used for this. The white stone was used in this day and age as a ticket into a festival, an event, a concert, something like that. What I believe personally Jesus is saying here is I'm going to give you a ticket into the eternal glory of God. There's going to be a banquet in heaven, and we get to participate with the glory of God. That's what I'm living for. That's what I want you to live for. That's what we're going to live for. Come on, somebody. See, it's a white stone. He says, this is the covenant promise. When we don't allow these things in, and we repent and we think differently. He says, I'm going to give you so much more of myself. I'm going to give you a love relationship and a new name. A new name is just something that only you and him know. That's just something that's between you and God. He calls you. It's a brand new name. And he has a new name for each and every one of you. Come on, how many of you heard the word of God today? Come on, how many of y'all heard the word of God? How many of y'all, it's transforming you, it's changing you. If you heard anything at all today that was encouraging, anything at all that's going to help you live for Jesus this week, anything at all that reminded you, and you say, you know what? I want to live. I don't want to comply to the world. I don't want to compromise the word of God. Would you just stand to your feet? I'm going to pray for you right now, just right where you are. I'm going to pray for you. If you just say in your heart, you know, I just know, I heard something that was encouraging. I heard something that was useful. I heard something that's going to help me. Church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray over every person here today. Lord God, just release them, Lord God. Release a blessing on them, Lord God. I thank you for new names, Lord God. I thank you for hidden manna, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for a white stone, Lord God, of the eternal glory of God given to each and every person, Lord God. God, we thank you for the word of God. Transform our thinking this week and give me the true grace that empowers me to live for you, Father. Now, just in this moment, just stay standing right where you are. If you're here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time when you became a follower of Jesus Christ, when you said, Jesus, forgive me of my sin by what you did on the cross, not my good works, not my good thoughts, not my good deeds, by what you did on the cross. Jesus, forgive me. And now I want you, Jesus, to be the leader of my life. If you don't have a day, a moment, or time that you ever did that, today is your day, July 12th. It's here. And today, this is the most important decision you ever make in your life, of receiving Jesus Christ's forgiveness and deciding to live for him. So right now in this moment, there's several people here today that you're saying, you know what? I don't know that I have that day. I don't know that I have that time, but I want today to be my moment. I want to begin a relationship with God, my Father. So if that's you right now, right here, I just want you to joyfully just slip up your hand right where you're at and say, Pastor, that's me today. Is there anybody here today that says, I am just here. I just really could use this relationship with God. Anybody at all here today? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody at all want in on this deal? It's a really good deal. Come on, somebody. Anybody at all. So this is what I want you to do. Just before, listen, just stay standing. If you raised your hand, this is what I want you to do. We want to value you. You're not a number, you're a name. You're not a statistic, you're a story. And we value you as a person. And I want you just to slip out of your seats and make your way to the back. Somebody's going to meet you there, and they're going to pray for you. So if you raised your hand, just slip out of your seats right now. Just slip out right now. Somebody's going to meet you. They're going to love you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to give you a Bible, and they're going to help you take your first step with God. How many of y'all think that's a great deal right there? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hey, y'all could be seated. Jordan's going to come up and close us up today. Thank you so much for being so great.